Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy disease, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth shall be revealed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And like as the father pitieth his children, remember the Lord pitieth us. He keepeth us in his love. What a blessed thought. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What compassion, what love, what mercy, what grace, what kindness he has bestowed upon us, and how unworthy we are. Well, graduate day is a wonderful day for you wonderful people, you young people. I can almost remember when I graduated from high school. That's been a few moons ago. But I admire your spunk and that you stayed with it until you've now come to the point of walking across the stage and receiving a diploma or a degree or both. What a great group of young people. We at Worth Baptist Church are exceedingly proud of every one of you and of you parents and family members that have been patient for all these years, and you've contributed to what they are today. Well, a lot of the runway's already been used. And I'm glad they did a great job of just walking across and let us seeing them and hearing from the youth pastor what they're going to do. Stay with it. Never give up. Never grow weary. Never quit. Keep on going. Now then, as you think of what's happening in your life, I want to share with you some thoughts today that I trust will be a blessing to you. And I'm hoping that the Lord will use these words to strengthen, to encourage, to challenge you. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Romans, chapter 1. As you're finding your place in the first chapter of the book of Romans, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is his grass. All the glory of man is like the flower. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we know as the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and pure and perfect and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I'm going to read for you verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, and I shall read it after we pray. Now, our Father, we are grateful for this day. We're grateful for each one of our graduates and for their teachers and for their parents and others who've encouraged them and helped them along the way. From this day forward, may they be determined to serve you with a greater diligence. Do what you want them to do. Say what you want them to say. Go where you want them to go and live as you want them to live. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What a tremendous passage that is. I want you to note four words in my text especially. I am not ashamed. Underscore those four words. I am not ashamed. In these four words, Paul gives us a clear-cut testimony of who he was and how he felt about himself and about what he was doing with his life. May I get personal? What are you doing with your life? Who are you? I don't mean your name or nationality. I mean your true self. I mean what you are doing with your life today. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, it may have been me. No man knows what he is living for until he knows what he would die for. Amen. Did you know what Paul would die for? He really desired to die and pass on and go on to where Jesus was. What about your life? What are you doing with your life? How are you spending your time, your money, your energy, your talent, your abilities? Paul wrote in the 9th chapter of Romans at verse 3, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. May I get personal again? What about your unsaved family members? What are you doing about them to get them to come to know Christ? Paul knew what he was doing. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Do you have a desire that's akin to that? To be all things to all men, that by all means you might get some of them saved? Paul's whole life was wrapped up in Jesus. What are you wrapped up in today? Money? Pleasure? Fortune? Popularity? Fame? Could you say with Paul what Paul said? If Paul had a theme song, I think he would be this. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. Little wonder that Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Have you read Paul's credo lately from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21? Here's what he wrote, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We know that Paul was in a Roman prison cell, but I hasten to tell you he was not Caesar's prisoner. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said in Ephesians 3:1. I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The guards that were chained to his wrist were not just soldiers. They were souls for whom Christ died. To die is gain. Now don't forget, Paul was in prison and knew not at what time he would die or whether he would live or die. But one thing was sure, if he lived, Christ would be with him. If he died, he would go and be with Christ. He said so in 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to look at those words in my text again, verse number 16 of Romans 1. Paul wrote, I am not ashamed. Literally, he said, I am proud of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel of Christ, what is it? It's God's good news. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Can you see already how much scripture Paul put in his messages? If we'd leave out some of the fluff and stuff and puff, we'd have more room for the scripture. I've always challenged preachers, give more room to the scripture. Leave some of this nonsense out. You're not here to be entertained. If you did, you'd get somebody else. I'm not an entertainer. I don't want to be an entertainer. Sometimes I look like one. And if my wife didn't lay out my clothes, I would come out like one every time I came out of the house. A crazy entertainer, if you please. The power of God, the dynamite, unlimited and unequaled is the power of God. Salvation, full and free and forever. Believeth. That's a simple word, but it involves a whole lot. Believeth, everyone who believeth. Listen to what Jesus said about that in John 5:24. I'm going to quote Jesus now again. I love to quote Jesus. He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Life eternal. Life never ending with Christ. Christ died for our sins. Could I tell you that I want to give you three reasons why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel? I hope you'll listen carefully. Reason number one, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it is an exclusive gospel. Listen to what he wrote in Galatians 1:8. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed under the punishment of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let it be known to you and to all men everywhere, there is but one true gospel. To preach any other gospel is to nullify the gospel of Christ. There's only one way to heaven. That's what Jesus said. I'm quoting him, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, or inasmuch as I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. What is he doing? He's making intercession for you and me. Someone said it matters not where I be as long as he is there. No one can explain or describe the beauties of heaven. I know it has a street of gold. I know it has gates of pearl, walls of jasper. But that's not even the beginning. Jesus is there. He's by the right hand of God. There's only one Savior. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to be saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one door. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I'm quoting Jesus again. I love to quote him. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. As a kid growing up in Sunday school, we used to sing a little chorus. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? That matters a whole lot, which side you are on. If you're on the wrong side, I pray that you go on the right side today. Walk through the door that Jesus said he was. No other way. How simple and yet how profound. Reason number two. I see now in the second place that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it is an effective gospel. I'll soon be 91 years old, and I'm not about to risk my eternal destiny on some newfangled gospel built on some fanatical, philosophical nut. I'm trusting Jesus and his gospel. I'm trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er they fall, trusting Jesus. That is all. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. It was shamrock season in Ireland. The old country preacher stood on the street corner preaching the gospel. His message was Christ the solid rock. And he was waxing eloquent when the heckler on the other corner shouted out to him, hey, preacher, you talk about the solid rock. What do you know about the shamrock? The old preacher just kept on. Safe rock, the saving rock, the secure rock. The old heckler hollered out again, hey, preacher man, what do you know about the shamrock? The old man stood up straight, threw back his shoulders, lifted up his voice and said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other rocks are shamrocks. He's the solid rock, ladies and gentlemen. He's the saving rock, the securing rock, the standard rock, the solid rock. I'm glad we could stand on him today and never have to worry about falling off. For he keeps us day and night. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And it is tried, tested, true, and triumphant. God thought it. The Spirit wrought it. Jesus bought it. The devil fought it. But praise God, I caught it. And I'm on my way to Canaan's land. His gospel challenged Rome and changed the world. His gospel shook Jerusalem and shattered Judaism. His gospel saved my soul and set me free 79 years ago. And I'm still saved and I'm still free. And I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this whole world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher. For I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Hallelujah. I'm on the way. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My unsaved friend, the power of the gospel will change your lifestyle, make you a new man, a new woman, a new young person. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your lifestyle is changed the moment you're saved. The power in the gospel would change your destiny. Every member of Adam's ruined, wretched, rebellious race is a sinner by birth. And Paul put it this way in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, please don't miss this. If you're here today as a sinner that has never trusted Christ as your Savior, unless you as a sinner repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be separated from God for eternity in a horrible place called hell. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Hell is hell, and hell is real. Can I tell you what Jesus says about it? By the way, he spoke more about hell than he did heaven. So don't get upset with me if I talk a little bit about hell today. I couldn't do my duty unless I did tell you about it and tell you what Jesus said about it. And I tell you where he said it, in Matthew 25 and verse 41. The lake of fire, he said, is prepared for the devil and his angels. And don't get upset with me. I'm going to tell you plainly. Maybe the last time I get to preach to some of you. So I want to put it like it is. If you go to hell, hear me, you must be one of the devil's angels. That's who it was prepared for. Are you with me? I'll stay by myself if you're not. And if you go to hell, you'll be an intruder unless you're one of the devil's angels. That's what the Bible says. Raymond Barber didn't dream this up. I'm not that clear a dreamer. Are you still on page one? Hell is real. Well, here's the good news. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And hear me, the moment you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And your destiny is changed forever. Not the devil and all the demons in hell can erase or eradicate your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. Reason number three, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it is an extended gospel. To whom is the gospel extended? Well, my text answers that. To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Listen to what the Bible says. Greatest authority in all the world is the scripture. It's written by God. And here's what he said. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy head. No. Believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. No exceptions, no exclusions, no excuses, no kidding. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I read about a notorious sinner who was on his deathbed. Everybody knew something about this old man that was class one sinner. He called for the preacher. You know, some people wait till they die until they call for the preacher. Preacher, you've had that experience in your ministry. I've had it dozens of times. So he called for the preacher, and the preacher said, well, Esther, you must repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior to be saved. The dying man said, but preacher, can repentance cover a lifetime of sin? The old preacher said, no, but Calvary can. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Let's stand for our prayer, please. Calvary covers it all. I don't know your status. I don't know whether you're saved or unsaved, but I know one thing. If you die having not trusted Jesus Christ, your eternity is hell. I wonder who'd be first with heads bowed, who would say, well, preacher, I'm not certain about this thing. I've done this, I've done that, but I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. But there's only one alternative. It's either heaven or hell. Nowhere in between. Nowhere else. What about your situation? I wonder if you'd be kind enough, and we're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. Nobody's going to call out your name. We don't even know most of your name. But I wonder if there'll be one or two, a few, who might say today, preacher, please pray for me. I'm not certain about this matter of going to heaven. I don't want to die without Christ. And today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come, for all things are now ready. I wonder if you just put up your hand. Nobody's going to embarrass you. You just say by that lifted hand, pray for me, preacher. I'm not certain about this thing of going to heaven. And if what you have said today from the Bible is true, I'll go to hell if I die today. I know that's putting it blunt, but the Bible is a blunt book. And believe it or not, I'm a little bit of a blunt preacher. I've already told you it'd either go to heaven or hell. Which will it be? Are you concerned about it? Do you believe what the Bible says? Before we pray and go, anyone that would say, pray for me, preacher, I'm not certain about this thing. I want to be. I need to be. I'm going to assume that everybody in this congregation is saved. Now, what about if about Tuesday afternoon they call to the office and they say he died Monday night suddenly and we don't believe he was saved? What's the preacher going to say at your funeral? This preacher, this pastor's not going to color you up and put you in heaven even though you belong in the other place. I'm not going to do that. Brother Weaver wouldn't do that. Billy Patterson wouldn't do that. John Gibson wouldn't do that. Any other preacher here, if he has any stamina at all, wouldn't do that. You have to tell it like it is. It's time we came to grips with this matter of eternity. So many people are confused about it. There's nothing difficult about it. You're either saved or lost. Going to heaven are going to hell.